Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.
Genesis chapter 50. Chapter 50. It's a blessing to be alive. I want y'all to keep praying for my good friend and brother, Dr. Theodore C. Jackson Jr. and the Gillis Memorial Church. Amen. And I want you to continue to lift them in prayer. Satan is so busy. And I've already told you all, I've been given the responsibility to act as their advisor. That puts a burden on our shoulder. Amen. Which means I'm responsible for really praying them through. Kind of hard to pray when you're praying by yourself. Amen. And the enemy is so busy, but God is still kind. God is still kind. You know, old saying, you can't hurry God. You just got to wait. You got to trust and give him time. Sometimes I find myself saying, Lord, can you kind of speed it up? I know you're in charge, but take charge and go on and get this thing over with. God is kind. Praise him. Look at, how many got your Bibles tonight? Come on, let me see your Bible. Where your Bible? Let me see your Bible. Amen. God is sweet. Yeah. It's good when believers not only carry the Bible, but read the Bible. And more than that, believe it. I mean, really believe the word. Amen. And I'm convinced that in these days in which we are dwelling in now, we are more and more under the microscope of the enemy than ever before. Amen. And I just believe that these are days of testing. And the church is being tested in every area that you can think of, from spirituality to financial to physical. Amen. Even in areas of doctrinal belief, it's being tested. And never before has the Christian church found itself in such a compromising position. But then all one needs to do is turn to the book, not right now, definitely, but look at the book of Revelations. And you'll find in the book of Revelation seven churches. And in those seven churches, you will find a few of those churches who compromised, who took down, who began to follow the precepts and practices of the world. But there was one church that the Lord said to that church that he knew their strength and it was small. And he thanked them for their faithfulness to him. And he said to them, I have set before you an open door. I believe it's the church of Philadelphia in the book of Revelation. I have set before you an open door and no man can shut it. Oh, God is kind, isn't he? And when you're faithful to him, he'll do that. He'll do that. He'll do that. To other churches, he talked about, you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. I got to spew you. He got to spew you out. He said, I would that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. I have to spew you out of my mouth. And another church, he said, behold, I stand at the door and I am knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and he with me, and I will sup with him and he'll sup with me. God is knocking at the door. Can you imagine Christ knocking at the door of a church that he has founded, which suggests that we have put him out and we've gone to doing our thing now. Oh God, and he's standing there knocking. But do you know the day will come when the knock will cease? The knock will cease. The knock. But Christ is going to take his church back. Amen. Out of the hands of people, amen, who have sought to use the church for their own selfish purposes. And so today we find ourselves in a place of test and trial, and where people are having itching ears. They don't want to hear truth. They want you to tell me some lies, make me feel good. Amen. What can I expect from God? And I hear God saying, what can I expect of you? I've given you everything you could ever need or deserve when I gave my only son. Amen. And don't you know, if God doesn't do anything else for us, he's done all that is necessary for you and me, in that he gave his son. Amen. Turn with me now to Genesis, the 50th chapter. And I want us to look at verse 18 and verse 19. Amen. God is kind. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Therefore, fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim, children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. God is kind, and he is merciful. I want to look at this text tonight, and if you will, allow me to tag it. I want to look at this text. You meant it for evil. That line right there. I'm going to talk about when evil works for good. Most of us, if not all of us, are familiar with the story of Joseph. How he was considered his father's favorite. To the end that this young man was endowed with extraordinary gifts. He had the gift of not only dreams and dreaming, but he also had the gift of interpretation. It wasn't until later in life that he learned how to interpret dreams. But oftentimes when hanging out alone, God would show him, if you will, mysterious dreams. One dream in particular comes to mind that seemed to have set off, if you will, such a fury of anger, not only among his brothers, but also his father. Where Joseph stands and says to his father and his brothers that he was asleep, and the stars and the moon and the sun all paid obeisance to him. The father raised the query, are you suggesting that I'm to serve you? Well, Joseph merely was only recanting what he dreamed. He had no control of his dream. He had no control of what would happen while in his sleep state. But oftentimes, dreamers dream daring and risky dreams. This is an age where it's not popular to be a dreamer. Usually because dreams are made of the stuff that's not of this realm. Dreams are the ideas that never enter the mindset of ordinary, everyday people. Dreams are real dreams, supernatural dreams, are dreams that cause us to think beyond where we are right now. Dreams usually manifest themselves in a way that they send a message that we are more than what meets the eye. And people have a problem with dreamers who dream big dreams for themselves. But may I suggest to you this afternoon that it would do you well to dream big dreams. You ought to dream dreams that only God can bring to pass. You ought to not dream of stuff that you can do yourself or things we call mediocrity or mediocre. But every now and then you ought to have one dream that's so large that you know that it's going to take all the heaven to bring it to pass. Dreams, as I said before, dreams can only get you filled with a whole lot of uncertainty and ridicule from others. But dreams have a tendency, if you will, to cause you to be alienated from others. Because whenever you began to dream large dreams, and others who are around you cannot conceive or comprehend what you're saying, when your dreaming becomes poison to them, your dreaming becomes a problem for them, you can rest assured you're about to confront a dream killer. The Bible says his brothers not only sought to destroy Joseph, but they really want to destroy his ability to dream. As a matter of fact, when the father sent Joseph on a mission to find his brothers, they were down in a little place called Dothan. When he got there, they saw Joseph coming on the horizon, and one said to the other, "Here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him and see what becomes of his dream." What they did not realize that the dream did not originate with Joseph. The dream did not have its origin in Joseph's own imagination, but the dream had its origin from God. And they failed to realize that whatever God set forth, nobody can stop it. They tried to kill Joseph's dreaming ability. So somebody came up with the bright idea to throw him in a pit, take off his coat of many colors that his father had bestowed upon him, take that off, kill a beast, and saturate the coat in the blood of the beast. Take the coat back home to the father and declare Joseph's death to the father, so that the father, not only would Joseph be out of the way, but he'll be out of the father's mindset. If we can just make daddy believe that Joseph is dead, he will cease to call his name or to think of him as an individual. We want to wipe not only the dream out, we want to wipe him out, so that there's no more thought of Joseph ever to come up again to haunt us. However, things did not work out quite like they planned. They didn't realize they were really playing into the hand of God's providence. That is the nature of evil. Evil is that which people do to try to avert all that God has set loose in your life. Evil at work usually plots out, steps out to try to abort your possibility and your future. But God always has a plan, if you will, to undo the plan or plot of your enemy. The devil wants to bring it down to a place of disgrace. He put Joseph in a pit, a place of darkness, a place, if you will, of despondency and depression. There he was supposed to lose his very mind. There he was supposed to lose any aspirations or hope of ever coming out of the pit. The pit was a muddy place that used to be a well, but now is nothing more than, if you will, muddy dirt. Joseph is lowered into that pit. His coat is taken to the father as false evidence that Joseph has been killed. They really were trying, as I said, write him off. But I thank God tonight that when the adversary writes us off, God says, "I got your back." It's a wonderful thing to know that when people write you off, God says, "I already got you on the agenda." And I'd rather be on God's agenda than to be on the agenda of people any day. I'd rather be on God's itinerary than to be on the itinerary of people any day. Because people will soon find any reason to take you off the agenda. If people exalt you, they will also demote you. They will also abase you. But if God exalts you, I like what the text says. When God exalts you, there's nobody who can take you down. The Bible says that God, through his infinite mercy and his infinite grace, has an unusual way of making all grace abound towards you and I. I don't think we understand the magnitude and the power of that particular scripture when Paul talks about God making all grace abound towards us. In other words, in the grace of God is everything you need to bounce back from anything the enemy has set loose in your life. When God's grace is abounding towards you, it doesn't matter how low they put you in a season or two, God will deliver. It doesn't matter how bad things are going in your life. God doesn't have to stop the bad stuff. He'll just get you through the bad stuff. God doesn't have to wipe out your enemies in order to bless you. He'll bless you in spite of your enemies. God is so sovereign, and God has all the power to do anything but falter along the way. If you put your trust in him, it doesn't matter what you're going through right now, you can come back from it. The Bible says not only did they put him in the pit, but then they sold him into slavery. And as they sold him into slavery, they knew then they got rid of him out of the country, which meant there's no chance he'd ever surface again. But I thank God I don't have to come back home in order to declare my existence, because God has a way of working circumstances out that I don't have to go where my enemies are. My enemies will come where I am. You ought to give him praise this afternoon. You don't ever have to worry about showing yourself off anybody. In due season, the Lord will bring your enemies to where you are, and when they find you where you are, they won't find you where they left you. They'll find you in a totally different position. I got to hasten, but look at here. The Bible says they did some terrible things to Brother Joseph. They did some mean things to Joseph. They did some horrific things. They did some basement-minded things to Joseph. They did some low things to Joseph. But the Bible says in the midst of all of the low life stuff they could have done to Joseph, he still persevered. And as I studied the life of Joseph, as with many of the Old Testament patriarchs, as well as some matriarchs, there is always the question, how did they make it through the stuff they made it through? When I think about Queen Esther standing before the king, I have to ask myself, how did Esther stand there without losing her life, knowing she was violating a custom law of the Persians and the Medes? And the answer comes back to me. She was able to live, and not only live, but succeed at what she was attempting to do. She was able to do it because the text says, and the Lord was with her. When I think about Moses going down to Egypt land to get those slaves out of bondage from Pharaoh, the Bible says, and the Lord was with him. Everywhere you look in scripture, whenever you see the text that says, and the Lord was with him, you can rest assured there's victory on the horizon. Come here, Jabez. Jabez did not just ask the Lord to enlarge his territory. That's where you and I stop short. We only see the aspect of, Lord, enlarge my territory. But before he asked the Lord to enlarge his territory, he asked the Lord to please be with me so that I won't do my enemies any harm. Be with me so I won't offend anybody.
be with me so I can do no wrong. And the Bible says that as he went forth, God began to enlarge his territory. What you getting at, Gilead? Whenever God is with you, he always accompanies his being with you with miracles and wonders in your life. What is a miracle? A miracle is anything that's happening to you that by logic should not be happening. Anything positive and powerful that's happening in your life that you know you have no scientific or philosophical explanation to why you're blessed the way you are, it's because God stepped in. Instead of you saying with your nappy head self, I'm lucky, you need to say the Lord is with me. I don't even like to say the Lord was. I like to say the Lord is. Anybody know he is with me? How did you make it yesterday? The Lord is with me. I'm glad David didn't say the Lord was my light and my salvation. He said the Lord is my light. I'm glad he didn't say the Lord was my shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say the Lord was my refuge and my strength. He said the Lord is my refuge and my strength. He didn't say the Lord's name was a high tower. He said the Lord's name is a high tower, and the righteous run in and they are safe. Am I right about it? The Bible says in every situation that the Lord was with Joseph. And I tell you this afternoon, it's a blessing to live with the consciousness and the confidence that the Lord is with me. If you can just get that in your head and get that in your spirit, regardless of what you may enter into, the Lord is with me. Though the waters roar, though the rivers roar, though the mountains shake, the Lord is with me. Come on, shout glory. The only reason why Meshach and Shadrach was able to get through the fiery furnace is because the Lord was with them. The only reason Daniel was able to sleep all night long in a lion's den and not become chopped liver is because the Lord was with him. Now maybe you underestimate the power of the Lord's presence, but I'm learning every day that his presence is the fullness of joy. In other words, I don't have to wait till something good happen to get happy. I can be happy even in the most hellish of situations because the Lord is with me. Thank you, Jesus. Whenever tragedy comes and trouble knocks on the door, I go back and grab the Lord was with him. And if the Lord was with him and with them, surely he'll be with me. Come on, and since I know he's with me, I think I go on and shout a while. I think I go on and praise him a while. I think I go ahead on and thank him anyhow, because sitting around moping and crying and wringing your hand ain't gonna change nothing. But if you give him praise just for his presence, you ain't got to reverse nothing. You ain't got to change nothing. Just let me know you're with me. Oh, come on, say glory. I'm too glad he's with you. Come on and clap your hands and let's give God some glory up in here. Yes. So many of us want pity. We want people to feel sorry. The devil with all of that, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is there anybody from the same school of thought I'm from? I don't care what the devil does. I got my eyes on Jesus. I heard the Hebrew writer say in Hebrews 12 and 2, now looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of the faith. Anybody know if you keep your eye on him, in the darkest dungeon, he'll be with you. In the darkest of nights, he'll be with you. In the hottest situation, he'll be with you. Will he do it today? Come on, let's give him praise anyhow. They did some low things. Let me hasten. They did some low things to Joe, and people can stoop to some low levels. But the intriguing thing about what happened to Joseph, it didn't come from a stranger. It came from blood relatives. You might well deal with reality. Yeah. There was brother rivalry. Oh, yeah. Oh, you can't nobody do it like sisters and brothers who are at each other's throat. Oh, yeah. Come on, give him praise. They were so clandestine. They were so cliquish. They were sneaky. They were conniving. They were plotting. They were very jealous and very envious. You see it played out in families all over this neighborhood and all over this country where sisters and brothers become arch rivals. Yeah, that's what happened in Joseph's situation. He had some jealous brothers. He had blood relatives who wanted to see him go down. I know it sounds strange. It almost sounds psychologically and psychiatrically deranged, but it happens that there are people in the same family who can't really enjoy life unless one sibling is suffering. I wish I had a witness, and then the other four or three get together and talk about the suffering of the one. But let me serve somebody who is a victim, if you will, of some rivalry. Let me tell you, here's what I want to give you some instruction. If you're feeling the sense that you are a victim, don't. Don't allow yourself to become a victim by those who want to victimize you. Neither allow yourself to become a villain by those who victimize you. As a matter of fact, don't become a victim. Don't become a villain. Become a victor. Put your hands in God's hand and give him praise. I'm going to say it again. Don't become a victim. Don't become a villain. And just become a victor. In other words, overcome all of that. Because adversity has a way of calling you and causing you and I to be tempted to act as victims. Nobody likes me. Everybody's against me. Why is it everybody's being blessed but me? How come the good things don't happen to me? Shut your mouth. And then don't allow yourself to get into the bag of trying to make somebody else's life miserable. Don't get into the place where you began to question other people's blessings.
Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.